Doug, let's first start talking about how unique this spring has been. I know you would love to see cars on the track. I know you'd love to see fans in the stands. What has this spring been like for you and the Jackson Motorplex?
Well, it's been total chaos, to say the least. I mean, we usually have our schedule, start working on our schedule in July, and it's kind of a never-ending process, and our schedule is usually completed by mid to late October for the following season. And, you know, all that work that we put in right back in those dates to get a schedule release for 2020 has pretty much gone out the window. You know, we're going to end up looking, you know, depending on things, how things turn out, we're going to probably end up, you know, basically adjusting our entire schedule and taking it just a couple weeks at a time. I mean, that's really all we can do right now. You know, there's just so much uncertainty in the world. We don't know what's going to happen from one day or one week to the next, and it's just really, it makes it really difficult to plan anything right now.
On up to this point, as we record this interview, how many weeks have you had to wipe out? And then secondly, what's the calendar, as you mentioned, just a few weeks out, short term, what's the calendar look like? When are you hoping maybe that something can get started?
Well, fortunately, we haven't had to wipe out anything as of yet. Our season was scheduled to start May 15th, and we still have that on the books right now as a 410 IRA show to take place on the 15th. With the governor's announcement last week, you know, extending the stay-at-home order through the 18th, we've actually reached out, and we have a plan in place that has been submitted to the governor's office to race on the 15th without fans and using pay-per-view only. They did that down in Park Jefferson, South Dakota here a couple weeks ago. You know, and it's a great model. We have a pay-per-view partner that, you know, with SpeedShift TV that has been with us for the last several years, and they have committed to do all of our races again this year. But to do it without fans is a different scenario. You know, none of the tracks around the country have ever experienced that or had to go through that. So that kind of changes the whole dynamics of how we use, pay-per-view you know, move forward with it. So, right now, we're waiting to hear back from the governor's office on the May 15th race. So, in all reality, we have not had to cancel any races yet. We're just kind of, right, like I said, we're taking it 2 weeks at a time and just kind of wait and see what happens. You know, we've got, after May 15th, we were scheduled to run weekly. And, you know, moving forward, we'll just kind of wait and see what happens. But our first goal is to try and get this May 15th race scheduled. And like I said, we do it without fans and do it live on pay-per-view.
Practically, how will that work then? Obviously, without fans, that will be one thing. But then I would guess, what, in the pit area, you would continue to try to practice social distancing and keep teams apart as much as they can while also still efficiently trying to get a car ready to race?
Absolutely. You know, we've got a large enough pit area, and we're fortunate in that instance where we can accommodate, just with our pit area alone, we can accommodate about 140 pit spots or, you know, race rigs in our pit area. So our plan is to keep those rigs 20 feet apart, and so we can still get approximately 70 to 75 rigs in our pit area. We also have an adjacent campground that is right next to the pit area where we can figure we can get another 30 to 40 race teams parked in there and park safely and keep the social distancing and, you know, keep people apart. You know, we've got plans in place to, you know, all of our registration would be done online. All the, you know, the pit meetings and stuff that we always have would be, you know, basically presented to the teams via email before they even get to the racetrack, so they know exactly how the format's going to run. And we've got a great PA system throughout our pit area, so we can utilize that when communicating with the race teams and, you know, really don't have to have any, you know, gatherings whatsoever like we've done in the past with our pit meetings and such like that. So we have a full plan in place to, you know, still practice all the social distancing and be in complete compliance with the CDC and you know, take actions that way and just make sure everybody stays safe.
as the old saying goes, racers want to race. Have you been hearing from the guys that like to come out each week on the weekly deal and say, man, even if there's not fans, and if you can make it work, obviously I assume you have to hit a certain number to get the pay-per-view to make it worthwhile, because not having the fans in the stands and buying hot dogs and programs and all that obviously has an impact. What are the racers telling you? I'm sure they're appreciative of you trying to get this thing going.
Yeah, I hear from race teams every single day and night. I mean, my phone just has not stopped ringing here in the last probably 2 to 3 weeks after this deal, you know, is kind of starting to open up a little bit. But, you know, all these teams, they've got all their equipment ready to go. Their sponsors want to see them on the track. I mean, it's just everybody's ready to go, you know, and that's, you know, that's kind of the challenge that we're all facing right now. You know, you've got some states that are opening up and some that aren't, and it just makes it tough to try and put a schedule together for some of these race teams. I completely understand, you know, what they're going through. We're all going through this together. I mean, it's, you know, uncharted waters for all of us. I mean, nobody's ever had to experience anything quite like this, you know, and, you know, prepare a racetrack, prepare a race team, and, you know, just move forward. There's just, like I said, there's so much uncertainty right now that nobody really knows what to expect. But, you know, from the racer standpoint, they're all ready to go and, you know, ready to get on the track and, you know, at least make some laps here, you know, this spring and summer.
I would think at least in the short term, the pay-per-view thing can work. Who knows, you know, in terms of trying to make that as terms of the sole revenue provider for a long term. But we've all been cooped up. There's been no sport events on TV, and racing fans, I think, would eat it up. If I've read correctly, there are some tracks that are having pretty good success with numbers, correct? In terms of getting people to buy the pay-per-view and just to watch a sporting event, whether it's racing or what have you.
Absolutely. You know, like I said, I think it's a great short-term solution to the problem, but long-term, it's not going to be sustainable. You know, once a lot of these tracks start to open up, it's going to really saturate and flood the market, and, you know, you're going to lose a large percentage of your viewers. You know, what those guys did down in Park Jefferson a couple weeks ago, you know, they had the attention of a national audience. There was absolutely nothing else going on in the entire country that, and, you know, they had international viewers as well. So, and we do too, from time to time. We have a large contingent of Australian drivers and a lot of fans from Australia that tune into, you know, our pay-per-view events throughout each year, just because that's the only way they can stay connected with what's going on here in the States. And, but, you know, like you said, to try and sustain this model throughout the whole year as more and more tracks start to open up, it's not going to be possible. So that's why we're kind of looking at the pay-per-view deal through May. You know, and I really don't – after that, it's really hard to tell. But I just – you know, from the numbers that we've looked at and you know, kind of what we're familiar with, I don't think it's going to be a sustainable model that we can use all year long just based solely on pay-per-view alone. We're going to need some fans in the stands, you know, our large events, you know, if we can't do that without fans, we're going to try and probably end up having to postpone them or, you know, see what happens maybe later in the year. But, you know, we're still optimistic that, you know, as time progresses here, things are going to lighten up and more people are going to be allowed to go out, especially for outdoor sporting events.
Doug, in a normal year, on a normal weekend, I'm not talking the special events like when the World of Outlaws comes in, but just a general weekend, how big of an impact does the Motorplex have on the Jackson community and the region? How many fans traditionally might come out for a normal week event, you know, a weeknight event, or I should say a weekend event on one night, and how much impact would that have on the region?
Well, it varies from week to week, but, you know, we typically have anywhere from, you know, probably 500 to 2,000 fans, you know, come on for a weekly show. And, you know, the impact that has on a small community is tremendous. You know, those people, they come, they buy gas, they eat at a restaurant, you know, and they shop downtown. And it's just, you know, the impact on a small community like Jackson is just tremendous. I mean, you know, Jackson's only about 3,300 people. And so they rely on a lot of the ag community and a lot of, you know, farming is king here in southern Minnesota. And we rely on, you know, our farmers to help support us as well. So it's kind of a two-way street, but we all need each other, you know. And like I said, right now, without having those fans come to town, you know, they're not buying gas, they're not eating at the restaurants, and they're just not spending the money. So we need all businesses to be able to open up, you know, not just ours. I mean, you know, we need to have, you know, the downtown restaurants need to be able to open so people can go sit in instead of, you know, doing the takeout. And, you know, we need all the clothing stores to open and everybody to open up. So it has a tremendous impact, you know, on our community and surrounding communities.
When the World of Outlaws comes in, I know you have at least one event, right, in June, the Big Jackson Nationals. How many people come and see that? And I would guess people from all over the region, upper Midwest, the Dakotas, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, come in and watch those events when the World of Outlaws come in.
I mean, that typically draws, you know, in the last several years has drawn, right, you know, over the 3 days has drawn, you know, anywhere between 10 to 12,000 people, you know, over the 3 days. And this year, I think, would probably be as big, if not bigger, just due to the fact that we announced that we were paying $100,000 to win. We've had tremendous response, you know, starting back in November already, you know, with that event, you know, by mentioning, you know, once we broadcast that we were going to pay $100,000 to win, the attention that race has generated is tremendous, you know, and it's not only on ticket sales, but camping. I mean, you know, just people look into hotel business. I mean, the hotels around the area are already completely booked for that weekend. And you know, I mean, I get calls every day asking what we're going to do with that event. And, you know, at this point, we really don't know yet. We talk with the World of Outlaws every single week. You know, we're coming up with different alternatives and just kind of waiting. Like I said, again, it's pretty much a state by state. You know, they're trying to find states that they can go race in right now, and you know, hopefully Minnesota's one of them here real soon that we can, you know, at least have fans and be able to race, you know, in front of these great fans and bring the World of Outlaws to town. So it's just kind of a wait and see game, but it's about all we can do right now.
Yeah, it's one of those, as you mentioned, you can't get too far out ahead of it at this point. What is your hope here in the short term, this May 15th potential racing without fans? What is the hope that you would have an answer, whether, you know, obviously you hope it's positive news, but one way or the other, when are you hoping that you hear from the state leadership on this?
Well, from what we've heard, I think we'll know probably by Tuesday, Wednesday at the latest of this week, so we can start announcing that and, you know, and start, and if it is a go, we, you know, we need some time to get our teams registered so we can do all that online. You know, so, you know, like I said, we've submitted our plan last week to the governor's office, and we're just, you know, kind of sitting waiting right now, but I'm thinking by Tuesday, Wednesday at the latest, we should have an answer on the May 15th date. And then, you know, from there on, we're going to kind of take the next 2 weeks after that, you know, each week at a time, but, you know, we've got some plans in the works for a big 2-day event on May 22nd and 23rd, if possible. And, you know, right now we have the USAC National Sprint Car Series scheduled the last weekend of May, which is the 29th and 30th. We're really not sure where that event's going to go yet either. We're just kind of waiting to see. There again, if that is only pay-per-view only and no fans, you know, we got to take a look at that and see what our options are too there. It would be probably with a different pay-per-view company. So they have a company that has the rights to all their shows. So we got to kind of wait and see how that plays out and where we're at, you know, a couple weeks down the road from there.
Sounds like a lot of chess pieces in place, and you just got to figure out where to play them. You have a bit of a statewide audience here with our interview on the Minnesota News Network. For those not familiar with the Jackson Motorplex, just give us a little background on the facility. And, you know, as you mentioned, it's in Jackson, Minnesota, town of 3,300 or so. And tell us about the track and what you're proud about of it.
The greatest thing, I grew up in Jackson, and I've been going to the races there ever since I can remember. This will be our 67th year in existence of racing. It's actually on the county fairgrounds. It was actually owned by the county for all those years up until the end of 2015, when local businessman from Wyndham, Todd Queering, purchased the facility. And I started working for him there in November of 2015, and so we've had four successful seasons under our belt, and you know, we put a lot of money back into this facility. I mean, Todd is very passionate about racing, and especially sprint car racing, and you know, he's stuck a lot of money in it. We've got all new grandstands, new bleachers, new suites. That 2 years ago, the track was actually shortened up from a long half mile to a 4/10 of a mile, which has produced a lot better racing, more side-by-side action. You know, not that the racing wasn't that bad before, but the cars would get strung out, and it was really hard on motors. It, you know, the long straightaways took a lot of torque on the motors, and, you know, now it's a lot more racy. You know, like I said, we've got a full campground, you know, right next to our facility, so fans that are coming to watch races can camp for a night or for the weekend. And, you know, like I said, from 2015, I should say, the only thing that is left standing is our concession stand. Everything else has been pretty much redone. Like I said, we put in new bleachers and shortening the track, new pit area, and new campground. So, you know, like I said, we've invested a lot of money into this, and, you know, we're very passionate about racing and drawing some of these bigger events. And, you know, we're just starting to see it pay off this year, you know, we've got some of the probably most prestigious sanctioning bodies in the entire country, you know, in dirt track racing coming here with, you know, like you said, the World of Outlaws. We got the USAC National Sprint Car Series. We've got the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Model Series, supposedly planning on coming in here in July. We got Tony Stewart's All-Star Circuit of Champions, you know, coming in late July. You know, we've got a monster truck event scheduled on August 1st. So, you know, we just got a wide, you know, we've also got four IMCA stock car events this year planned as well. So, you know, we've got a wide variety. If you're not a sprint car fan, you know, that's fine. We've got stock car races as well. So there's just a lot for the average race fan to come and enjoy here at the Jackson Motorplex.
Yeah, now we just have to wait and hope the situation straightens itself out and we can all come out and watch some racing here and start getting life back to normal here, right?
Most definitely.
All right, Doug, we appreciate the time, and hey, keep us posted as well on that May 15th date, will you?
Yeah, we'll do. And like you said, fans can watch our social media sites. We're very active and on social media along with our website at jacksonmotorplex.com, and we'll keep everybody up to date there as well.